The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Expect we'll have some of those phone calls over the next 2 hours. Peter Burns sitting in for Paul Feinbaum. Paul is working on his karaoke there in Nashville, getting everything rock and roll. So he'll be part of our coverage for what I think it's like 47 hours for the kind of unofficial kickoff of the 2023 college football season. I actually will be kicking things off with Chris Doering. Peter Burns and Chris Doering there on SEC This Morning. We'll be ready to go starting at 8 a.m. Eastern. And looking forward to talking to all the coaches. Of course, we talked to Josh Heupel earlier today. We'll replay that conversation in a couple of minutes about it's a sigh of relief when they found out the NCAA came out today and said, listen, not going to be a bowl ban. No postseason ban. You're okay. Now, you are going to have to pay a boatload of money. There's going to be some scholarship reductions. There's going to be official visits and unofficial visits reduction. Jeremy Pruitt, six-year show cause. But ultimately, Jeremy Pruitt was found that, hey, he was involved in all of this. He's gone. Everybody associated with Tennessee football during that time is now gone. And when we had Josh Heupel, he was clearly excited about the future, and rightfully so. He should be. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. David Rithpath is joining us now from the Drake Group. And, David, I want to switch gears a little bit because while we look at Tennessee fans that are listening to us on the Paul Feinbaum Show, they're happy today, right? They are looking at this going, man, that could have been some dark times. It worked out okay, I guess. And they're in, you know, kind of going one direction. Not the same can be said right now about a Big Ten team in Northwestern of what they have had to deal with, not only in football, but in baseball as well. What can you tell us about it?
Peter, great. Thank you for having me on. And I think first from Tennessee, I think that there is a sigh of relief from Josh and Danny White, you know, two people who I know well. Danny's a graduate of Ohio University, and Josh and I worked together way back when at Weber State. And I know that, you know, considering how bad it could have been based upon precedent, but also knowing that the NCAA has very much recently tried to have punishments that don't affect current athletes as much, meaning that why should people who are in junior high when Jeremy Pruitt was coaching have to, you know, suffer the indignity of not being able to play in the postseason for someone else's sins. So in that sense, that's a positive. Yes, it's a lot of money. Again, there is some pain in these sanctions, but a school like Tennessee, school like Alabama, they can survive this, I think, pretty well, especially where Tennessee is now. And, you know, you've got a great coach in Josh Heupel. You've got a very solid athletic director in Danny White. I think Tennessee will come out of this just fine. To the latter part of your question, Peter, it's interesting that I would say schools find themselves in more trouble, if you will. I don't know if that's the best word, or maybe more of a quandary for things that technically aren't NCAA violations. So you even go back to Sandusky with Penn State. You can talk about, you know, certainly things like, you know, at Northwestern, the NCAA doesn't legislate. And I think that that's an issue, but they don't legislate really the health and safety of college athletes, and certainly things like hazing, coaches abuse, those types of things are supposed to be handled at the institutional level. And I think in Northwestern's case, and we could probably make the argument for many other schools, it's not handled very well at the institutional level.
And what's interesting as well, too, because this goes way back. Northwestern was one of the first schools, if I'm not mistaken, David, that looked at this and said, hey, we should have a union, right? Wasn't that something that the players had discussed? But it was a private university, so they thought that there might be some ways to do that, which arguably may have kind of saved themselves from something that, like this happened. What's that background?
Absolutely. If you go back to when Kane Coulter, the outstanding quarterback for Northwestern, was really leading the charge with the National Labor Relations Board and the College Football Players Association, led by former UCLA linebacker Ramogi Huma, into actually unionizing. And the NLRB did not take action because there were also public schools within the Big Ten, and their jurisdiction is not over public schools. We don't know what the vote was of the Northwestern players. There was an actual vote to decide if they would unionize or not. I will say that Pat Fitzgerald and others, I was a little bit involved in this. were not very keen on the athletes unionizing, and they certainly, there were a lot of veiled threats in the back and behind the scenes at players that they actually voted for, because it was a very real movement, but it was really stopped more by the NLRB punting on it. But I will tell you that with what's going on with NILs, Peter, we're looking at, I think, down the road, some type of revenue share, if not outright pay for college athletes. Collective bargaining for college athletes, bargaining their working conditions, is not that far away. And that's not a bad thing, because they should be able to have protections against things like this. And right now, the power dynamic is very much in the institutions and coaching staff's favor.
Player strike?
You know, it could happen. And again, I think that that would certainly send a message, even a slowdown. If you go back to when the famous Sonny Vaccaro, and certainly Sonny's getting a lot of publicity with the movie Air and having Matt Damon play him in that movie. But Sonny will tell you that when UNLV played Duke 1991, when Duke actually beat UNLV and broke their winning streak, there was discussion that UNLV would actually not take the court for 15 minutes. Think about that. Championship game, Final Four, even being in 1991, that would actually get the needle moving in some direction, right? And so, you know, players having that ability, that nuclear option, the ability to say, hey, look, like actors and actresses today, is a very powerful tool, and it's one that they should have. They should be able to bargain their working conditions, and we can no longer say that, hey, you get this college scholarship, and whatever we throw at you, you're going to have to take. Those days are over.
David, because I look at this, and I go back to and I believe it was Kylan Hill, Mississippi State running back a couple years ago, frankly said, listen, the state flag has a Confederate symbol in it. I'm not comfortable with this. I don't think I'll play another down in the state of Mississippi if that's going to happen. And that merely was just one player kind of talking to some other players, but that was merely a player threat kind of in the offseason. And guess what? Within like a month, you had a bunch of head coaches and a bunch of coaches go down to the state courthouse and said, hey, we're all in this together. We're getting rid of it. The state flag changed. By the way, beautiful new flag. The Magnolia State flag is awesome, right? State of Mississippi. And so I've always wondered, is there going to be a point? Is there a breaking point to where players go, you know what? Man, I know kickoff's noon, but I'm good right now. What do you guys think? And is this going to be one of those moments that we have? Maybe not this year, but 2-3 years down the road.
You know, I think it could happen more so, you know, Peter, I'm older than you, but I think, you know, you go back far enough to when, you know, look, when players were recruited, players from California didn't know players from Connecticut. They maybe met each other in college. There wasn't really this relationship. Well, now these kids know each other from a very young age. Social media, we're all connected. It's much easier to organize. And because of technology, I really truly believe that the athletes can organize. And if there is a collective body, and if the athletes, I think that's the first step, to actually have a certified collective body, and it might be, you know, Jason Stahl out of Minnesota, his college football Players Association that he has. And then I misspoke on Ramogi Humas, which is the National College Players Association out of California. Michael Hsu, my Drake Group colleague, is running a College Basketball Players Association. Now, these are not official unions, but there are bodies that are set up that could actually become a union. I think it could happen relatively quickly, at least, or some type of representative body that give athletes an actual seat at the table. And once they have a seat at the table, and they have an equal voice, and they can actually negotiate things. And I've said this too, Peter, and maybe your fans would like to hear this, is I believe the athletes as a collective body would agree to a one-time transfer exception. That's one way to actually have a little bit more control over the transfer portal, which everybody seems to be upset about. But you can't restrict college students from transferring, right? That's the issue.
Right.
But you could restrict an employee. So maybe something that some people say they really don't want is really the solution to having a better managed college athletics enterprise. Peter,
again,
I said on the show,
yeah,
I was going to say on the show, Peter, I've said 100 times, nothing will keep us from watching the games. So let's just make it fair for the athletes.
You know, I saw that a couple of days ago. There were people saying, oh, name, image, and likeness is going to completely kill college football. And I looked at them like the attendance has never been higher. The television rates for college football have never been, as far as better, as far as how much they cost. So the sport is doing A-OK. David, it's fascinating stuff, man. It's moving fast. And it's always some great stuff from you guys over there. Well, how can people get in touch with you and follow your work?
certainly you can follow me on Twitter and now Threads, I guess, right? At Dr. Ridpath, Dr. Ridpath. And I do invite people to go to our website, www.thedrakegroup.org, and see what we're doing. We're working with federal legislators on many things to help out in college athletics. We're not supporting what Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin are doing. We have some ideas on protecting athletes' rights, but also protecting what we talked about earlier, Peter, the health and safety of college athletes. So I would invite people to check out those sites, check out my Twitter thread, and understand we're trying to make college athletics better.
Amen. I'm all for anything that makes it so we can continue to act like idiots here on radio and in television and watch them all the time and have a great time doing it. David, we appreciate the time.
Peter, thanks so much.
There it is, David Ridpath over at the Drake Group. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Open phone lines coming up. Let's take some of your phone calls. I want to hear from Tennessee fans how they're feeling today. Also, I want to hear from everybody about what they want to hear come SEC Media Days when we get there over on Monday in Nashville. Like, I'm telling you, if I poured Truth Serum to every single one of these coaches, 30 seconds before they went on and gave their speech at Media Days, what do you think they want to say about their team? You tell us. 855-242-PAUL. That's 855-242-7285. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Peter Burns in for the Paul Feinbaum Show. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. We start to continue to get your phone calls going on about what happened today in NCAA Tennessee news, right? Josh Heupel joined us earlier on the Paul Feinbaum Show discussing it a little bit. He's in a good spot, right? He thinks that that resolution. In fact, I want to play this clip real quick before we take that phone call about what they've had to go through over the 2.5 years, right? And part of that is, you know, what he's had to deal with recruiting. Here was Josh Heupel earlier on the show when we had him in hour number one talking about how this resolution's going to help what's going on in Rocky Top.
Our entire staff was in recruiting, and because it has nothing to do with us who are currently there, people tried to use it against us in recruiting negatively, you know, and so you had to develop great trust with the recruits, their families. You know, you talk about the culture that you're building. You're talking about what happened and what you think the end result will be with the NCAA. You know, today's word gives us, you know, the ability to put it behind us, and it's out in the open and it's finalized, and they can all realize that we're going to have an opportunity to go play for championships.
So, again, this was a situation, and Josh Heupel trying to build this program took this job underneath these kind of allegations, and now listen, there's no, you know, for them all intents and purposes, there's no real governor switch on this team. Okay. The offense scores a bunch of points. They got a good quarterback. They get a good backup quarterback with Nico Iwamalava coming in, the five-star recruit that everyone's talking about. Good wide receiver core. And if they can show that they can do this under kind of these gray clouds in Knoxville over the last couple of years, that's, and now there's no longer that. I mean, yeah, you are going to have to deal with some official visits, but you can spread that out, or that official visits reduction. You can spread that out over about 5 years. Same thing with the scholarship stuff. This is monster news for Tennessee football as they start building it, especially because now we're getting ready to have college football 3.0, right? As far as this is the last year they have a 4-team playoff. If you need to tell me that Tennessee is or is not a college football playoff team going forward in a 12-team playoff, I'm taking the fact that they are. I'm buying that because I'm buying what Josh Heupel has done. I'm buying the guys that stuck with Josh Heupel when they didn't know what the future was going to bring. So, again, if you're a Volunteer fan, you have to be happy about that news. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. Expired in Texas. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Peter?
What's up?
You there, Peter?
I got you loud and clear.
All right. I just want to talk about next week, the media days, and how many times Jimbo is going to have to hear about Bobby Petrino and their relationship and all this stuff. And eventually, one of the media guys, Jimbo's going to go off on him and tell him everything's fine, everything's going well, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to score 40 points a game. Our defense is loaded with five stars, okay? Jimbo's going to get tired of answering that same question over and over and over, and everybody's saying, well, hey, these guys can't get along. How in the hell do they know they can't get along? That's what I want to know, okay? Personalities, they both want to win. Anytime you get in a coaching room, I coached 21 years, and you have different personalities, it makes it tough. There's no doubt. But I'm going to tell you right now, Peter Burns, winning comps everything. And if the offense is flowing, we're getting the ball to Evan Stewart, we got five-star Reuben Owens in the backfield, our wide receiver's unbelievable, and we're scoring 40 points a game, we're going to be pretty darn good. And Bobby Petrino is one heck of a football coach. And you know what? Jimbo Fisher is too. And those guys together are going to be dynamic. It ain't going to be perfect. But let me tell you something. You think Bill O'Brien and Nick Saban was perfect? Yeah, Bill O'Brien ain't the greatest offensive coordinator. He did an all right job in the NFL. But I'm going to tell you, they were successful. Maybe it was the players. I don't know. But you have problems in your coach's office. You have problems on the sideline sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, winning trumps everything, Peter Burns. And people are going to find out pretty quick that roster is loaded and that offense is loaded. And it's going to be a wake-up call. And I can't wait to head up to Tennessee, Rocky Top, and party down with Paul Feinbaum and SEC Nation. And, you know, I don't know if we can beat them up there, but it's going to be one hell of a good time. And Peter Burns, if you're there, you're welcome to come to my party.
See I'm you. In. I am in. Thank you for the invite there, Expired. Listen, I'm with you. I've talked about this daily on my SiriusXM show, and we're going to talk about this on Monday for SEC This Morning when we kick off Media Days. Is I think one of the most overrated, overblown, overhyped storylines this offseason is Jimbo Fisher and Bobby Petrino, oil and water. How is it going to? It sounds like a WWE wrestling match, right? Sounds like Dana White's trying to book a UFC card. That's not it. I guarantee you, Bobby Petrino and Jimbo Fisher had conversations about what this thing looks like. And at any point, if Jimbo Fisher didn't want Bobby Petrino running his offense, he would have just gone and hired some young, you know, up-and-coming offensive coordinator that he could run over at any point, and he could take the reins from. I think Jimbo Fisher is a fairly smart guy, and he realized, hey, at some point, Nick Saban hired Lane Kiffin. Oil and water, that's what you, when you look it up in the dictionary, it's those two. And guess what? It worked out pretty well. And I think Jimbo Fisher knew that. And at the same point about Bobby Petrino, I guarantee you, I don't think Bobby Petrino showed up one day and he was like, yeah, well, me and Jimbo are going to go to battle every single day. It ain't going to work, but I'm going to take this job anyway. No. And so, yeah, I will be kind of curious to see if Jimbo bristles to a certain extent how many times he gets asked about it, because he's going to get asked about it. I would imagine if he's smart, he'll go up and he'll just kind of laugh it off. And, hey, you know, me and Bobby, we're good friends. We're going to have a good time. The offense is going to look good. We're going to be doing it. And he'll talk super fast and kind of chuckle it around. But you're right. By the seventh time somebody asks him that question, you're going to get frustrated, especially if you don't believe that there's going to be issues. I like Texas A&M football this year. I don't think that they win the West, but I think they're better. I like Connor Wigman. The way that he played and progressed to the rest of the season, I thought he was good. You got Evan Stewart. You got Anaya Smith coming back. Moose Muhammad. You have playmakers. And I think the vibe is there. I think they've been such a punchline for the last couple of years because of expectations that it honestly kind of helps them. And people are saying, oh, there's pressure around Jimbo Fisher. There ain't no pressure when you get $85 million guaranteed. It ain't like he doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from. To me, this is house money of your Jimbo. Hey, man, if I don't do a good enough job and you need to find somebody else to do it, God bless you. Pay me my money. Pay me my money. I will go on the ranch. You won't see for me, hear for me, nothing. Zero. Because that money is paid in full. That's the ultimate no pressure situation. You're going to hear a lot about, who has the most pressure to win this year. Jimbo Fisher ain't got no pressure. He wants to win. That's why he's making the Bobby Petrino move. But as far as pressure, no. $85 million guaranteed, that relieves a whole lot of pressure. All right, your phone call is coming up. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. 855-242-7285. You can hit me up on Twitter as well, at Peter Burns ESPN, here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Peter Burns in here for the Paul Feinbaum Show. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Of course, the big news today, Tennessee football hit with the penalties from their NCAA violation going back to the Jeremy Pruitt days. And it was just a mess. Over 100-plus things. Wasn't good. But it wasn't horrible either for Tennessee football. Okay, no postseason bowl ban. And Josh Heupel's talked to Pete Thamel. He came on our show earlier today and discussed, saying, hey, it's kind of a new beginning right now. Now, the question is there a new beginning for Jeremy Pruitt? Listen, I'm a firm believer that there's so many guys that have done all the right things, put in the work, respected the rules of college football and the NCAA, and there's a very finite amount of jobs. And it's going to look really desperate and borderline embarrassing for anyone to hire someone who has a six-year show cause. It is, and that's the truth. But guess what? Desperate times calls for desperate measures, right? We've seen that happen over many years, and people can say that's happening in College Station right now. Got to win. Travis L. Brown of the Eagle joining us right now here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Travis, when you look at that, you know, when I say, hey, listen, desperate times calls for desperate measures, it feels like that's what people have said time in and time out about Bobby Petrino and Jimbo Fisher. Is that fair assessment of that hire?
I mean, I think if you look at the path that Jimbo Fisher has had with how he likes to run the offense, how he likes to call plays and have his fingerprints all over it, it would mark that there was some desperation. There was some feelings that things needed to change for him to be able to get to the point to hand over those keys and give the steering wheel to someone else on the offensive side of the ball. So, yeah, I think that there is some measure of that because of how historically bad that season was last year.
How much of that was injuries? How much of that you believe to be Jimbo just kind of caught up in 2010 football and lack of creativity?
I think it's all the above. I think, you know, when you don't necessarily have a stable quarterback situation or a guy that's going to be in there and be able to play because of all the injuries that they suffered, you're going to struggle. The offensive line banged up, didn't really have much cohesion. That's going to put pressure on the quarterback as well. And then you have an offense that is pretty vanilla at times. You're not using pre-snap motion. You're not giving the defense any kinds of eye candy, really. And all of those things compounded against themselves against A&M last year. I mean, the biggest case in point, the thing that was the biggest indictment against the offense last year, I think, was that game at Auburn. It was not a very good Auburn team that was struggling for wins like A&M was. And Auburn didn't have to to throw the ball until nearly halftime. The defense was struggling as well. It was just all around dysfunction, and I think that it's something that that everyone's interested to see how that's going to get fixed moving into this year.
What is that vibe like? I talked to Billy Lucci over at Tech Sags, and he gave me an answer, and I want to see if it matches with what you think the vibe is around the program, the fan base. I'd put it on a scale of 1 to 10. Where would you put it?
I would think it's like cautiously curious, kind of. I think people had turned pretty hard against Jimbo Fisher after last year because of the ineptness of the offense, because of kind of the way that he answered some of the questions and answered how they were going to try to fix things. And so I think that there is some level of people, the thing that people clamored for is they wanted someone, some new ideas, some fresh ideas to come into that offensive game planning room and the play calling. And so I think that bought him some time in the thoughts and hearts of A&M faithful that he could maybe recover from. So I think that there is, I don't know if you can go as far as say it's optimism, but I do think that there, he did hear the people and they kind of gave the people what they wanted. So they're willing to maybe give him a chance on this, but yeah, we'll see how it goes because there's a lot of talk about how those two are going to operate in a room together. And of course we don't get to be in those rooms, but man, I'd sure love to be a fly on the wall.
Doesn't it feel, and to me, it almost feels like it's an overrated storyline. Like I just can't grasp a concept. Like in theory, yes, Bobby Petrino, Jimbo Fisher, guy who's never given up the reins. I in theory, it sounds like they wouldn't get along, but at some point, two grown-ass men sitting together and that they've been accomplished, you got to think that they're in it for the same goal. Like I almost wonder if we're making too much of this Petrino Fisher, are they going to get along storyline?
Sure. I mean, I think yes. And I think on the surface of the beginning, of course, they're going to try to be going towards the same goal. But what happens when you get into the beginning of the season and you start hitting some speed bumps or something's not going exactly like Jimbo would like to see it on the offensive side of the ball? He is still the boss and he still can input his input in. And that's where how is Fisher going to react to the give and take, the push of that? It's not going to be they're both hard-headed and stubborn and they're going to sit at a conference table and not talk to each other. But who's going to win out when things hit the fan? I mean, you know, best case scenario for Aggie fans, this offense is great. Connor Wigman is great. They have great offensive linemen and the wide receivers are whatever things they're expecting. And they go out there and score a lot of points. And this is an overrated storyline, but if they do hit a speed bump, what does that look like? Because it's something Jimbo Fisher's never done before in his career. You're right. They're adults. They're professionals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're probably not going to throw temper tantrums at each other. But there's little micro decisions and things that will have to be made. That how are those going to be made? And what's the chain of command going to look like? And how much freedom are they going to give each other to do those things?
Travis Brown of the Eagle joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. How quickly does success need to be seen for those faithful?
I mean, I think that they can't come out. It has to be pretty early, and that only in the sense that these opening games of non-conference play have to be guaranteed wins. And you always say, well, they are guaranteed wins. Well, then you look at last year and there's Appalachian State rolling in and doing what they did. They not only have to win those games, they have to probably do them in a little bit of a commanding fashion to ease the nerves of the people who watched and were at that Appalachian State game last year, and to prove that the offense can actually move the ball and do something. Because As we came to find out, they had trouble moving the ball and doing things against some of those guaranteed games last year, and that carried over into SEC play. So I think people are going to want to see some pretty commanding performances early and see that that offense is able to move, see the offensive line. The offensive line, I think, is the biggest question mark for me heading into the season, that the offensive line can block, give Connor Wigman protection to run the offense and mesh together. They didn't really add much in the transfer portal there, so it's going to have to be guys developing and growing from last year. So, I think there's not going to be a whole lot of leeway time to get clicking. They need to be clicking early.
Feels like the defensive line going to be a little bit nastier, and then of course this offense. I think when it goes down to it, I just think they have so many playmakers with Moose Muhammad, Smith, and Evan Stewart that. The world could be their oyster. If I say 9.5 wins, feels too high or too low?
I think if the offense, that is a good ceiling if the offense makes some strides and the offensive line is not nearly as porous as they were last year. I think that could be a good ceiling. I think I would probably put the over-under at a 7.5 and 8 type of situation going into next year, because they do have the talent. They do return a good amount of talent. Linebacking is a question. Offensive line is a question. Once those things get answered, and if those play up to their ability, sure, I think nine games could be certainly feasible, but I would probably put it closer to 8, 7.5.
Crazy that we're this far down the road and we're still talking about Kevin Sumlin numbers and that wasn't good enough for Kevin Sumlin there in at Kyle Field, but going to be a very interesting story. And of course, Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies will be up first over on Monday. Travis, great stuff, man. We appreciate the time, all right?
You got it. Anytime.
That's Travis Brown of the Eagle out there covering Texas A&M football. Let's get a phone call before the break. 855-242-PAUL is that number. Sam in Kansas City. What's up, Sam?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
So far, so good. So, if Georgia, I know, have the cupcake schedule. So if you lose a game, though, so basically it's do or die with that kind of schedule, right, as you know?
You're talking about Georgia football coming up this year, Samford, Tennessee, Martin, Ball State to start off, and first conference game is going to be between the Hedges at South Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is that if you lose one of those games, you don't have to win about points every year. The thing is that if you lose one of those games, are you out of the playoffs, or depending on how bad you lose those games?
It depends, and thank you for the phone call, and I don't know what other show you're listening to, but I appreciate it, Sam. It is an interesting point that right now the strength of schedules ain't going to help Georgia at all, right? I mean, you don't play anybody really with a pulse as far as out-of-conference schedule. Now, you were supposed to play Oklahoma, but then, of course, that changed whenever Oklahoma decided they were going to enter the SEC. So it would have looked a lot better, and I think they would have beat an Oklahoma team. But it's not Georgia's fault. I mean, like, Josh Brooks and Kirby wanted to play that game, but weren't allowed to. So they had to pivot at that point. Then it really just comes to the point of, hey, how did you look like when you played those games? I got a feeling they'll look pretty darn good. And if you lost, you can't afford to do what happened to Ohio State a couple years ago, which is get blown out by, I can't remember if it was like a average Iowa team by like 30 points, right? Could you lose a last-second field goal? Hell, they almost lost last second to Missouri last year, and Missouri wasn't a very good football team, okay? But it's also a product of who else is going to be good. I don't know who is going to be good this year. I think it's wide open. In fact, this might be as wide open as we've seen college football in a while, and that's great for the sport. I don't know if that's name, image, likeness. I don't know what that is. Maybe more so just a product of quarterback play not being great. Your thoughts on it, 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. That's 855-242-7285. We'll talk a little bit more about Tennessee fans and what they're feeling like now. Josh Heupel talked a little bit about, hey, we're going for championships now that this bowl ban is no longer a part of their future. Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Man, I got a bone to pick with Roman Harper. Y'all see Roman Harper around? Y'all give us some hell. Because I just saw that my man is out golfing over here in Charlotte. We live in the same city. Works for us over in the SEC Network. Of course, Alabama legend. And he says, no kid life playing golf. I can't get the invite, Roman. I mean, I know I had to work today and I would have turned him down. But still, it would have been nice to get the invite. It's always nice to like get the invite and you know you can't do it. And you, man, I'd love to, but I just can't do it. Like that's, and I know I've done it as well too. Knowing, fully well knowing that somebody can't do something, like already knowing their schedule, but then you send them an invite anyway. I think it's bonus points. Maybe it makes me a bad person, but I don't care. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. You can yell at me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. Let's go, Alan from Alabama. What's up, Alan?
Good afternoon, Peter. How you doing?
Man, I cannot wait to flipping get to Nashville and finally start talking some football. That's on Monday. But we can do it now, too.
Yes, sir. I had a question for you. I would like to shed some light on the subject. Why is it that Georgia didn't have to play Oklahoma because they're coming to the SEC, yet Alabama still had to play Texas even though they're coming to the SEC? Is there any way you could explain that to me or shed some light on that subject?
I don't know the contract details, Alan, but my logic and my guess would be the fact that Georgia and Oklahoma were scheduled to play this upcoming year, and then they had signed like some home and home to where, all right, they're going to play again way down the road. And the reason why Texas and Alabama are playing because this was the back end. Like this is the final part of the home and home agreement that they already have. That would be my guess is they just said, well, listen, we're going to play each other. So let's just X out this quote unquote non-conference game. We'll just turn it into a conference game and we're going to meet up eventually is my guess.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that information. You're doing a good job today and big roll tide.
There you go, man. I appreciate that. Thank you, Alan. 855-242-PAUL. Mike from Alabama, you're on with Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Mike? Mike, what's happening?
Hello?
Hey, what's happening, Mike? You're on the air. What's up, bud?
Hey, I got a question, man. I'm a big Alabama fan. I compared to Georgia Bulldogs to the run of the Clemson Tigers. You remember when Clemson had that run of the two national championship run? Well, that's Georgia. They'll get their two national championship, and they'll be back mediocre. And my Roll Tide will be back on top of it all the way. Just like in 2015, we have a quarterback. We won a national championship. So I'm not worried about anything, man. Roll down Tide.
There you go. Mike is saying don't write off Nick Saban, the greatest coach in the history of college football. I think there's a big difference. Dabo Swinney on his greatest day in the history of his life wishes he was as competitive and had the recruiting that Georgia has under Kirby Smart in Athens. Spot the lie. I don't see it. Like I don't see it. I think Dabo also looked at it. Dabo learned a very, very valuable lesson recently. Remember, Dabo came in, I don't believe in the transfer portal. That ain't going to work, and that's just not college football. Shucks, you know, doggone it, that's not what we want to be. Buddy, it better be. If you're not using the transfer portal right now, what the hell are you doing? Georgia didn't have to because they had so many guys just lined up when they won the national championship. But guess what? They went in there. They're able to go out there and top off the tank a little bit with the transfer portal. Saban's done it. Every single program right now, if you're not utilizing it, and Dabo's starting to learn that. Dabo looked at it going last year going, well, you know, I kind of like my big salary. I like winning a bunch of games. Maybe I'm not, I need to back off on the name, image, likeness and high and mighty and stuff like that. I'm a firm believer. He looked at it and he's like, all right, well, yeah, I need to start playing by the same rules as everybody. It's not cheating, right? That's what, to a certain extent, free agency is. And that's the reason why now it's so important and so imperative for college football teams to be good right here, right now. Because once you cement yourself in that upper echelon of college football, you should never fall, ever. Georgia now has, and Alabama has it, LSU has it, all those kind of top-end teams, you got not one, but two signing days to grab the best athletes. And then you have the transfer portal on top of that. You should never have a year in quote-unquote you whiff. That's why it's important to be at the top of college football. And at least in that top 20%. You can still get to that point. But my goodness, if you're already inside the club, if you're already inside the velvet ropes, it takes a Herculean effort to fall out of it. More of your phone calls coming up. 855-242-PAUL. It's Peter Burns, end of the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.